thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Good morning. Can you hear me at the back there? Avril, I heard that timbrel playing. Fantastic. We are going to sing that song again, but I'm just going to give you some announcements this morning and get the business over and done with so we can get on with our time of worship here today. So a reminder, please, that we'd like you to make sure you keep some distance, some COVID-safe distance, physical distance between you and someone from a different household. If you're from the same household, feel free to sit as close as you want. Actually, no. Well, within reason. Move on. Also, we need to have everyone's details registered at our two tables, either at the back on our, what are we calling it up there? The deck, the gallery, or down here on the mezzanine level seating, or in the chapel. So if you have slipped through and we don't have your details, please at the end make sure you get those to Kathy. We've all, or to Richard, or to someone that's standing there. We've also left there for you a place to leave your offerings. So if you want to bring of your tithes and offerings today, there's a box on each of those tables. House of Prayer. It is a privilege to be able to pray for people. And we have a team of people here who like to pray every week. And this afternoon we have our House of Prayer at 4 p.m. So if you have a prayer request or something you'd like us to be praying for, please leave that. There's a slip on each table as well. Now, ladies, Tuesday lift is at 9:45 here and Bible study. So if you haven't been to that and you're a lady, you're welcome to join us. Men, Tuesday night after dinner, 6 p.m. is our Just Men Bible study group. Now, next Sunday is a lovely once a month occasion that we have, and I look forward to it. It's our picnic in the park. So following church, you're welcome to bring your lunch and join us at Cremunda Park at Wattulla for our picnic in the park. It's always a lovely time. What is the starting time, Jess, for our picnic in the park? 12:30. So you've got time to go and get yourself some lunch or go home and pick it up. Now, also, our ladies are raising funds for our missionary projects for this year. So if you are staying for morning tea, and our new COVID requirements are that if you're having morning tea, we need you to be seated, please, in that area there. But if you would like to purchase some jams or cake or Rocky Road or other delicious things, they'll be available up in the foyer. In the foyer is not the word, up there. So find those after we finish worship today. Now, Psalm 108 verses 1 to 5 says this, and I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing your praises with all my heart. Wake up, lyre. Not liar, liar, L-Y-R-E, musical instruments. Wake up, timbrel. Wake up, harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations, for your unfailing love is higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. I'm going to invite you to stand and join with us this morning. We're going to sing that song that you've heard already. Some of you have already enjoyed joining in. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. And those words are inside your newsletter if you need to look at them.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter. enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. That's a bit of a strange sentence, the music of the spheres. It's actually an ancient philosophy. I think the Greeks were the first to call it the music of the spheres, but it goes back in deep into ancient times. And the ancients believed, actually, they say believed, but I think understood is a better word, that the creation of the moon and the stars and all the planets aligned so perfectly that it made its own music. It was a music that you could hear if you're attuned to it. Now, we have a name for that music. We call it Christ or Christianity or faith. But they hit on something, the music of the spheres. So let's join in with the music of the spheres as we sing this beautiful song.
Amen.
This morning.
Seated. We're going to join together in prayer now. And maybe for the commencement of this, you just want to keep your eyes open. We've been thinking of our Father's world. And we're meeting in our Creator's cathedral. What a wonderful place to meet and worship Him, isn't it? The blue of the sky. Few little clouds right over there, but yeah, wow. These beautiful, magnificent trees that reach up to the sky with their own words of praise to our Creator God. They're good resting places overnight for the scrub turkeys too. Did you know that? They enjoy being in those trees. We've got the beautiful pond here. The ducks, I saw some of them come into land earlier this morning. Again, it's amazing the beauty of this creation that we praise our God for. And there were a couple of peewees wandering around here while we were singing that song. They've moved on. We're surrounded by the beauty of God's creation, and we praise him this morning and we worship him as our creator God. And I'm sure, there's the peewees. I hear them in the background. They're around somewhere. In these quiet moments, in this beautiful setting, God, it's his Father's, our Father's world. And more than just this beautiful creation, we acknowledge him as our Father. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are awed when we consider your greatness. But even more, as the hymn writer said, when we remember Jesus who died because of your love for each one of us. You not only created this world and us, but you love us. And you want to enable us to enjoy fellowship with you each and every day. And so in these special moments as we come together, we want to know more than anything else that we are close to you. May your blessing be upon us, we ask. We all come with different needs. There are things we want to shout from the rooftops about, good things, and praise you. There are deep troubles that we want to share with you. And you are here to accept who we are and to accept our worship this morning. We acknowledge also those who are part of our regular congregation who still aren't able to meet with us despite the some easing of restrictions. And just where they are today, again, we would ask that your hand will be upon them. May they know your touch, your presence, your goodness in the same way that we're going to enjoy it here in this place. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus, our living Saviour. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So our kids have been so busy this week. I've had a chat to a few of them and they've all got some really exciting news and I can't possibly remember all of it. So kids, pop your hand up and remind me if you have got some exciting news that you wanted to share with everyone. Jacinda, you got to shout it out really loud. Okay, shout out your news. No? Jacinda is four. Yay. Okay, Claire. Claire lost a tooth. So that's super exciting. We'll celebrate that when we go up there. Any other news? Sophie. We have guinea pigs. As well as chickens. Chickens are so last month, James. We now have guinea pigs. Levi. Levi broke a record for high jump at school and he was age champion as well. Woohoo! And Sophie was age champion as well for her age. Emmy. Emmy started Motivate Sports last week, which she's really excited about. So that runs once a week for 8 weeks, is it? Yeah, so that's really cool. Good job, Emmy. Kira? Kira's going to Aussie World today. Wow, that's exciting. So the kids have been super busy and having an awesome week. So we are going to go up and have a chat about living for God and eternal life and what that looks like and what the Bible says about that. So we'll be playing some games. And yeah, so kids, if you would like to stand up where you are and follow me up into the hall. And parents, when church has finished, if you can come to the hall and collect your kids from there, that would be excellent. All right. Have a good day. Give a big wave to the kids as they go. We've got a couple of new friends have joined us today. So we hope you really enjoy your time at Kids Church. First time here. Woohoo! Let's give them a big clap and welcome our new friends to church today. Now, I'm going to move into a short time of remembering today. Some of you will know of Charles and Barbara, and I'm sure that some of you have had regular conversations here at church over the last 18 months or so that they've been attending here. And others of you may not have had that privilege to meet this lovely couple. Today, we're setting aside a short time in our service to remember Charles. During the period of time when our COVID lockdown was in place, we were saddened to hear that Charles had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And just short 5 weeks after that, Charles's body could no longer fight the cancer, and he left this world and entered the next. Or as we say in the Salvation Army, he was promoted to glory. Francis Charles Ferdinand was born in Sri Lanka on the 28th of November, 1937, and he was the second last child of seven. Six boys in that family. Barbara, I can relate to that boy-heavy world, having three brothers and three sons and boys everywhere in my life. Along with his siblings, Charles was raised with one parent who was a Presbyterian and another parent who was Church of England. But regardless of any differences that they may have had in their practices, Charles was raised to know and to follow God. In 1958, Charles came to Australia as a 17-year-old young man with a big adventure ahead of him. The boys in the family came over to Australia one by one, and eventually their whole family was resettled here. On his arrival, Charles first worked in the taxation department and then moved to the State Electricity Commission in Victoria. And that is where he met Barbara. Charles worked as an accountant for numerous companies, and he and Barbara bought and managed a caravan park and were for a while in the real estate game. Charles and Barbara retired on the Gold Coast and 2 years ago moved here to the best place in the world. You agree? Yeah, absolutely. Now, Charles and Barbara were married in 1964, 56 years ago. And later they welcomed three children, their sons Greg and Dean, who are here today, welcome to you both, and their daughter Kalisha. As the years went by, Charles and Barbara were blessed to have four grandchildren join their family, Luke, Mitchell, Destin and Misha. We want to acknowledge today that this has been a difficult time for your family, particularly as the restrictions in place made it so difficult for you to gather together. You were limited in your visits to the hospital and to palliative care where Charles was so well cared for at Dove Cottage. We offer you our condolences today and we pray that you've been able to find some comfort in memories of your husband, your father. Charles also has family in New South Wales and Victoria who have been unable to see their brother before he passed away. And this is indeed a difficult time with these COVID restrictions in place for families. Now, as I said, the Ferdinands moved to Caloundra 2 years ago and they settled into Kookaburra Village, where they found a very supportive group of friends, a fellowship, a village. It takes a village. And that village today, we want to recognise the support that you've been to Barbara during this time. And we want to thank you for your continued support and your lookout for Barbara now as she's on her own. Now, Charles was a gentleman and he was a very gentle man. The conversations that I had with Charles may not have been many or not have been very long, but his smile and his words always brought great encouragement. In Psalm 103, we read these verses, and this is from the Passion Translation. The same way a loving father feels towards his children, God, that is just a sample of your tender feelings towards us. Your beloved children,
who live in awe of you. You know all about us, inside and out. You are mindful that we're made from dust. Our days are so few and our momentary beauty so swiftly fades away. Then all of a sudden, we're gone. Like grass clippings blown away in a gust of wind. Taken away to our appointment with death, leaving nothing to show that we were here. But Lord, your endless love stretches from one eternity to the other. Unbroken and unrelenting towards those who fear you and those who bow face down in awe before you. Your faithfulness to keep every gracious promise you've made passes from parents to children to grandchildren and beyond. You are faithful to all those who follow your ways and keep your word. God has been faithful to Charles and to you, Barbara. God will continue to be faithful. As you navigate the rest of this life without your husband by your side, we want to offer you our love and our support here as your church family. Now, James was able to visit Charles and spend some time with him in those last days. And I've asked James to come now and to pray and just remember Charles this morning. Thanks.
Please join me in prayer this morning. We praise you, God of all hope, God of all comfort. Surely your goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Today, O God, we give thanks and remember the life of Charles Ferdinand. Thank you for who he was. Thank you for what he gave. Thank you for how he served. We thank you, O God, today that we here this morning are the family of God. And we thank you for Charles, who belonged to that family and became very much part of us here, worshiping together. We remember in prayer today his wife of 56 years, Barbara. Hold her close, O God. Walk the journey with her until they are reunited in heaven. We pray for the family today, for Greg, for Dean, for Kalisha, all of the family members. May they know the God of hope who Charles knew. And as we continue to serve, O God, keep us faithful until you call us home to be with you forever. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Has anybody seen the preacher? Oh, it's gone up there. I was hoping you didn't fall in the water, Tim. Would you like to stand up and quickly stretch your legs? Not that it's going to be a long time sitting, but might be nice. Have a quick stretch.
Hello, sorry I'm late. Slept in. But I'm here now. Actually, I didn't sleep in because I was woken earlier this morning by the birds. Now, I don't mind being woken by the birds. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you, Crow. Consider the birds. I'm not so keen when that number on the clock when the birds start talking as a 4 or a 5, starts with a 4 or a 5, which will happen in summer, pre-dawn, the birds will wake us. But today I want to ask you to consider the birds. Now, that has a totally different meaning for us as Australians, especially as this at this time of year, as we consider the birds, because it's coming into nesting season for magpies and plovers and butcher birds. And when I say to you, consider the birds, you might be thinking, watch out for the swooping. Who's ever been swooped by an Australian bird? Well, if you haven't had your hand up, you are one of the lucky ones. It is a very unpleasant experience, especially as a child. In fact, I think I might have been a little bit traumatized as I was chased down the street as a child by magpies. And even this morning, Karen and I went out for our walk. We have a walk. We try and have a walk every day. And I stepped outside our gate, and there was 2 baby plovers just outside our front door. Ah, no. No, I didn't take a photo, because I know what that meant. I meant that where there are baby plovers, there's adult plovers. And so as I slowly walked along the driveway, yes, here they came. And you can hear them in the distance now. And this particular plover, this particular day, was not a happy plover. And the sun was just on the horizon, and he was coming out of the sun at me, and I was waving my hat around like a lunatic. People were slowing down, maybe in sympathy, maybe in ridicule, I'm not sure, as I was trying to cross the road battling this plover, considering the birds. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, that is not what Jesus is talking about at all when he says, consider the birds. He is talking about the fact that the birds do not have anything to worry about, that Jesus meets their every need. Because in Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about the fact that we shouldn't worry. He says it 3 times. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. In fact, I think it's less of a suggestion and more of a command. Don't worry. But is that really realistic considering the world that we live in at the moment? We are constantly bombarded, and we always have been, by worries. I just have to say to you, COVID, and you probably start to worry. But should we? Should we worry? When Jesus says, don't worry, what does he mean? Don't worry, be happy. Well, we won't end up there, but we will end up with don't worry. And I'll tell you why, Jody. I'll tell you what you should do instead of worry. Now, when there is a difference between worry and concern. In some ways, they are a synonym. If you look up worry in the dictionary, one of the definitions will say to be concerned. And even in the Greek that they use for this word in the Bible, the word is merinma. Sometimes it's translated, that one word, as concern, and sometimes it's translated as worry. In fact, even in the one book, sometimes it's translated 2 different ways. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about the fact that Timothy, his helper, has concern for him. He is helping him out. But later on, in chapter 4, he says, don't merinma, don't worry. Now, I think there is a subtle difference. I think, and I'm going to suggest to you today, that the difference between concern and worry is that concern is often for others. Concern is often motivated by love. And concern often leads to action. Whereas worry is often focused on ourselves. Worry is often comes from a place of fear, and worry leads to a place of inaction. It's like those hamsters. Have you seen those hamsters in the hamster wheels, or rats or mice? They're on those wheels and they run around. They don't go anywhere. Round. That is what worry does for us. It is useless, it is unhelpful, and it takes us nowhere. Now, when Jesus says this to the people who are listening, he does it on a mountaintop. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it goes for about 15 to 20 minutes if you read it out loud. Now, I think that is the exact standard that we should have for outside preaching, a maximum of about 15 minutes. Do you agree with me there? Inside, different story. But if you're outside in a mountaintop, is anyone going to be able to hold anybody's attention longer than Jesus? Probably not. Anyway, he gathered the people around, and it says at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount that he sat down. Now, when I read that, I thought, that sounds very tempting. Jesus went up to the mountainside and sat down. I'm going to stand today. But Jesus was able to hold people's attention for those 15 minutes with that sermon, a sermon that if you read it through and did everything in it, it would take you a lifetime to be able to fulfill. Every sentence is a sermon. And can you imagine today, in this situation where we are outside, the glorious situation where Jesus was speaking to the people, he sat down, the people probably sat down around him. There wouldn't have been any car noise, but there would have been nature surrounding him, birds, the fields of the flowers, people listening to his every word, maybe a gentle breeze blowing. Can you take yourself to that situation now, imagining being at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he has to say? And he starts, actually we're going to go right into the middle of the sermon, Matthew chapter 6, the words of Jesus. And he says, verse 25, "This is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." Now that sounds like he's halfway through a thought, doesn't he? In some other translations it says, "therefore." That's because he is halfway through a thought. He's just finished talking about money. Money, it's a bit of a sensitive topic. Back then, even now. But what he says about money is that don't let money control you. And he finishes with, you can't have two masters. You can't serve money and you can't serve God. Really, this is about care. You've got to remind yourself that God is the one who is looking after me. God is the one who is in control of me. And so therefore, I don't have to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Now imagine for a moment if someone gave you a brand new car. Can you imagine that? Now that's actually happened to someone I know. Someone gave them a car. Now imagine something better than that. Imagine if they also said to you, I'm going to give you this brand new car, but I'm also going to make sure that you have enough petrol in that car for the rest of that car's life. That's an amazing gift, isn't it? Now imagine you've been driving that car for a couple of days, maybe a couple of weeks, and the tank is half full. And you start to think, well, I know they gave me the car, because here it is, it's mine. And I know they promised that they would, you know, fill the tank with petrol, but will they? Will they honor that promise? Will they come good? Well, they've given you the car. They've given you, let's say it's a $50,000 car. Don't you think that they'll come good with a $50 tank of petrol? That is how we behave sometimes towards God. God has given us life. He says, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? God has given us the best gift, life. And yet we worry. We worry about God who promises to meet our needs, about sustaining us with food and sustaining us with clothing. And then Jesus says, look around. Consider the birds. Look at the birds. And we've already talked about the birds today. What birds have we got behind me today? There's some ducks. Ducks live about 5 to 10 years. Any other birds that you can see around? An ibis. Did you know the ibis can live about 25 years? Amazing. Plovers about 15 years. Crows, 25 years. Magpies, 30 years. What's up there, Jody? What sort of bird is it? Little sparrows, not so long, a couple of years. Now, yesterday we were covered over here with sulfur-crested cockatoos. They live 40, 50, 60 years. But if they're looked after in captivity, they can live even longer. Now, there's a cockatoo that holds one of the records for the world's oldest bird. His name's Fred. He lives in Bonnerong Wildlife Park in Tasmania. And he's older than our Fred. I won't tell you how old our Fred is. But this cockatoo is over 100 years old. He has been cared for. He doesn't have to worry about anything. And Jesus says, when you look at the birds, they don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? Now, he doesn't, because Jesus is not saying they don't plan for the future, but he's saying don't be consumed about the future. If you think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, our first parents, they had no need of those things. They had no need of harvesting, of planting, of storing, because they had God's grocery store in front of them. And it was only when sin entered the world that we had to start thinking about our future, about whether God would meet our needs. They just knew that God would. And it's the same with the birds. They just know that God's grocery store is for them every day. Yes, they have to work for their food. They have to look for it. But they never think that they will be in need. And Jesus says, aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Well, of course. And then he says, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Now, it's a bit of a tricky translation there. Some versions translate, can all your worries add a single cubit to your height? Now, that's pretty ridiculous, isn't it? How could worrying make you taller? Well, I wish it could, but we all know it doesn't. How could worry give you an extra day to your life? Well, we'd like to think that it could, but it really doesn't, does it? In fact, it's probably the exact opposite. If you worry, you are giving your body stress. You are putting damage to your heart and other parts of your body. And actually, your days will be shorter if you worry. Jesus was onto a good thing when he said, don't worry. Your days might be longer if you don't worry. So don't worry. Then he says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. Why don't you take a moment now to look at God's creation around you? There's some lovely flowers on the trees over there. I walked along the path this morning and there was flowers on the ground. And God has taken the time to make these things grow. And as Jesus goes on to say, they don't work or make clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. There's nothing we can do to put on that will ever be as good as wildflowers that pop up out of the ground. And yet, they're here today, and as beautiful as they are gone tomorrow. And Jesus says in verse 30, and if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. And then he gets to the point. And this is the point that I think he's trying to make. Why do you have so little faith? Why do you have so little faith? Because when we worry, what we are really doing is taking the burden that we should give to God about our everyday needs, and we're taking them back to ourselves. We're putting them back in our pockets, and there's nothing we can do about them anyway. Often the things we worry about are the if-onlys, the what-ifs, the could-bes. Most of those things that will probably never happen. Remember, I'm not talking about concerns. I'm talking about worries. Things that are motivated by fear. Things that no matter what you do, you're like the hamster going round in the wheel, round and around and around. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Don't have so little faith. Now, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you've put your faith in God for your eternity. You've said, you know what? I can't get right with God by myself. I'm just not good enough. I need Jesus to make a way. And he did. He died for us. He took our sin upon himself. He rose again. And he made a way for us to be in relationship with God when we believe in him. And if you have faith for that, that is the biggest thing that you can have faith for. Yet we have faith for eternity. We don't worry about that. We are assured of heaven. And yet we worry about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear and a myriad of other things that don't matter in 5 minutes or 5 months. Why do we do that? Why do we worry about the things that are transient, the things of this world, when our eternity is secure? We trust in Jesus for eternity, and yet we take back that worry and put it on ourselves when it comes to things that aren't so important Jesus says, don't do that. He says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. And why wouldn't they? If you don't have any faith in God, who can you trust for these things? You've got no one to meet your needs. Jesus promises his believers, I will meet your needs. But if you don't have a connection with God, if you don't have faith in God, well, worry makes sense. But if you're a Christian, why do we worry? And then Jesus says, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now, we do a dinner here every Tuesday night. Some of you may have been along on Tuesday night. Now, what normally happens is we're pretty good at that. We've been doing it for a while now. We do it as a takeaway because of the whole COVID thing. Some people sit and eat. But we plan ahead. We get the menu ready. We buy the things on Thursday. And then on Tuesday, the delivery comes in and they cook it and people eat it. It's like clockwork, really. Well done, all you people. But this week on Tuesday, sorry, Frank. Frank got the list in late. I'm not doing this to scold you, Frank. Sorry, Karen. Oh, and then Karen didn't order it. So on Tuesday morning, I turned up and they said, we haven't got anything for dinner tonight. But we didn't worry. Karen said, we didn't worry. I wasn't worried. And I thought, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go to our storeroom here, our fridge here, and see what's here. Because we have deliveries from OzHarvest, which is leftovers from Woolworths, and also Aldi. And sometimes, you know, some of those things are useful for dinner. You know, there might be half a watermelon or a broken pencil or a shampoo with the top broken off. That's the sort of stuff we get in normally. So I looked at the list and it said Frank required 12 kilos of potatoes, 4 bags of carrots, 1 bag of onions and some frozen vegetables. And I went to the fridge and what came in on Monday afternoon from OzHarvest was 12 kilos of potatoes, 4 bags of carrots, 1 bag of onions, and we'd already had some frozen vegetables donated. That's true, isn't it, Frank? God already knows our needs. God already knows our needs. And so, Jesus says to us, don't worry. When you start to worry, because you will, treat it as a warning light. And I'm going to give you 3 things that you can do when you start to worry so that you don't need to worry anymore. And in fact, Jesus tells us 2 of these straight up, and the other one is from Paul in Philippians. So the first thing Jesus says is instead of worry, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The kingdom of God, that's about the rule of God. That's about the reign of God. That's about the will of God. Thank you, Sofa Crested Guitar. I don't think that's Fred. Sofa Crested Cockatoo. The rule of God, the reign of God, the will of God in your life. If there's an area of life where you have worry, maybe that's an area of your life that you haven't given over to the King. And maybe the worry is there to remind you that you need to submit that part of your life to God. Seek the kingdom of God first, above all else, and live righteously. And the promise, and he will give you everything you need. Trust God. The second thing you do, if worry comes, is to live in the moment. Now, there's 2 days you shouldn't worry about. Yesterday and tomorrow. You can't do anything about yesterday. It's past. You can't change the past. And you've got no control over tomorrow. Jesus says at the end of this section, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Live in the moment. And we do have troubles for today. We do have concerns. We can bring them to Jesus. But if we spend our time in the past or in the headspace of the future, which we can't do anything about, we will miss the blessings that God has for us today. Because God has blessings for us. Later on in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about the fact that God is our Heavenly Father who wants to give us good gifts. He says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? No, of course not. So if you sinful people now know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" Jesus has blessings for us in the today. Live in the moment. Seek the kingdom first. Live righteously. He will meet your needs. Live in the moment. Live for today. Live in the today, not in the yesterdays or the tomorrows. And the last one is from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And here Paul says, "Don't worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need." Well, hang on. Doesn't God already know what we need? Well, he does. So what is the point of telling God what you need? Well, it must be for our benefit. It must be to remind us that he already knows. He has our needs at the forefront of his mind. He's already putting things in place. It's a reminder to us that God's got this. And then he says, thank him for all he has done. And why do we do that? That is to remind us of all the times in the past when God has got this, when God has met our needs in the past. We ask him for our future, we thank him for our past. And then when we do that, when we come under God's rule, when we live in the moment and forget about our past mistakes and the future that we can't control, when we ask God for our needs, when we thank him for all he has done, Paul says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus, a supernatural peace that will overcome the worry, which is unnatural. We're going to spend a moment now just for a chance for you to let go of any worries that you might have. And this is not a one-time deal, by the way. You might need to do this every day. In fact, it's probably not a bad idea. Every time you see a worry, every time a worry comes across your path, a worry that's possibly motivated by fear, a worry that leads to inaction, like that hamster going around in the wheel. You can do this. So let's do this now. Bow your heads and say, God, I'm going to seek your kingdom first. I'm going to live righteously. I'm going to hold on to the promise that you will meet my needs. God, I'm going to live in the moment, in the today. I'm going to let go of those yesterdays. I'm going to not worry about the things that I can't control in the tomorrows, because I know that you have blessings for me today. Jesus, I ask that you meet my needs. I thank you that you have met my needs in the past. And I will receive your peace right now. So just in the silence, if it helps, look at the birds. Consider the birds. If it helps, look at nature around you and receive God's peace.
Jesus is my portion.
Thank you, God, for your care for us. Thank you, God, for your concern for us. Thank you, God, for your love for us. Thank you, God, that you not only promise to meet our needs, but you do that. Lord, bring to our minds the times when you have met our needs in the past and encourage us to trust you as we consider the birds, as we look at the lilies of the field, knowing how much you care for them and how much more you care for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Let's stand and sing this great song, which gives glory to God for the things that he has done. Us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, who truly believes that moment from Jesus. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done. rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
Amen to that. Let me read you this benediction from Philippians 4 today. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Might just sing that chorus again one time. If we can, let's sing it together. To come and join us for morning tea.